As we get started today, my question for you is this. Have you ever experienced the pain of rejection? Maybe for you, you were 16, asking somebody out. Maybe it was that job that you poured your life into, and then one day your boss sat across from you in the conference room and said, "Today's going to be your last day." Maybe for you it was a relationship. Maybe you had been in it for a while, for years even, and you still maybe even live under the same roof. But every look and every phrase makes it very clear that you're not wanted. And you feel the pain of rejection. Because rejection hurts. Seriously, rejection hurts. Research tells us that the part of our brain that processes rejection is the exact same part of our brain that processes physical pain. So when we say rejection hurts, it's because rejection hurts. But you didn't need a study to tell you that, because at one point, maybe your best friend walked out of your life and became somebody else's best friend, and you didn't feel wanted. Rejection hurts. We're in the final week of our message series called Been There. And today we're talking about rejection. Why? Because Jesus felt all the same emotions and all the same feelings that we have, because he was fully God, but he was fully human too. And he experienced rejection. And so the title of today's message is Moving Past Rejection. How do we move past rejection? Mark chapter 3. Here's the summary of the first three chapters of Mark. Jesus' early ministry. Everywhere he goes, the crowd gets bigger. Everywhere he preaches, there's more and more people. More people want to be healed. So Mark chapter 3, verse 20, with that in mind, it says this: Jesus entered a house, and again, a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. So Jesus shows up again. More people have heard about him. So even more people show up. The crowd is so big, they can't even fit into the house that he and his disciples are simply trying to share a meal over. Put it in present day context, we'd say Jesus' YouTube subscribers have just hit 500,000. He's about to monetize that thing, right? You're standing in line at Walmart, getting ready to check out, and you see the U.S. Weekly. And whose picture's on the cover of U.S. Weekly? It's Jesus. Because everybody's talking about him. And everybody wants to meet him. That's how life is supposed to be, isn't it? Surely that's what it looks like to be blessed. This is what happens in the very next verse. It says this in verse 21. When his family heard about this, they went to do what? They went to take charge of him, for they said, "He's out of his mind." So when Jesus' family, the people who are supposed to show up to cheer him on, the people who are supposed to be there to support him, the people who are supposed to be there to take a picture of him, to put it on the mantle, to talk about when people come over, this is our son, this is our brother. When Jesus' family shows up, the people who are supposed to be there to cheer him on, his own flesh and blood show up. They don't show up to cheer him on. They don't show up to support him. They show up to do what? They show up to take him home because they're embarrassed of him and they don't want to be associated with him because people think he's lost his mind because of the things that he's saying about himself. We don't want people to look at us and think those things are true about us and think less of us. So we need to take them home. They're embarrassed of him. They're ashamed of him. They don't want to be associated with him. Can you imagine being rejected by your own flesh and blood? But unfortunately, some of you can, because you've felt that pain. If that wasn't enough, the next verse talks about the religious leaders. So the people every Jewish person looked up to, they came. They didn't say he's out of his mind. They said he's possessed by a demon. The pain of rejection again. But we read this and we think, what? But that's Jesus. That's the story of Jesus. Because even if you didn't grow up in church, you know enough about the story of Jesus to know that Jesus was probably supposed to experience some kind of rejection, right? There's Christmas. Jesus was born to a virgin. He lives 33 perfect years. Then there's Easter. He dies on a cross. He's raised from the dead as a payment for my sin and for your sin. He had to. It was part of the story. Surely Jesus has to experience rejection. He was supposed to feel that pain, but not me. Surely that's not what my life's supposed to look like. So when you were a kid, somebody taught you how to cross the road. Maybe it was a neighbor. Maybe it was a grandparent. Maybe it was an older sibling. But most of us learned the same lesson, and it was this. It was, before you step out into the road, you better do something, right? Before you cross the road, before you step out into the street, you better look both ways. Or you better be real good at playing Frogger, right? You better look both ways. When we read God's word, it's wise to look both ways. We look to the left before the passage, and we look to the right after the passage. Why? Because every single part of scriptures in the context of a bigger story, and sometimes what's before it and what's after it, tells us how to interpret it. In this case, the fact that Jesus experienced the pain of rejection, what are we to do with that? We look left. We look before that story. Fortunately, there's a heading on this story for those of us who don't want to read the whole thing. And it says that Jesus appointed 12 apostles. Maybe you hear it more often. Jesus appoints the 12 disciples. Talks about. He names them. Here's who my disciples are. And you go, what in the world does that have to do with this? Well, here's what it says in verse 14 of that. Jesus appointed 12, designated them apostles, that they may be what? That they may be with him, so that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. Mark says this, these are the 12 disciples who were to be with Jesus. Why? Because to be with Jesus is different than being around Jesus, right? Being with Jesus is different than being around Jesus. There were people who were around Jesus. There was the crowd. There was his family. There were religious leaders. But the disciples were the only ones with Jesus. And what does Mark say? If you're with Jesus, he says this, you'll experience the things that Jesus experiences. You'll get to preach the good news. You'll get to heal the sick. You'll get to cast out the demons. Because when you're with Jesus, you get to experience what he experiences. You get to do what he does. But that's not it. You'll also pay the price that he paid. And so what Mark is doing is he's tying the disciples' experience to Jesus and saying this. If Jesus was rejected and you were with Jesus, you too will face rejection. 11 of the 12 disciples in this passage face an untimely death. Why? Because they lived life with Jesus. And sometimes rejection is the price that we pay to be with Jesus. Because being with Jesus is different than being around Jesus. And when you're with Jesus, you get to experience things that nobody else does. But sometimes you have to pay the cost of being rejected like Jesus. You see, the question is not, will I be rejected? Because Mark says, if you're a follower of Christ, you will. Or if you're just a part of the human race, you will experience rejection. The question isn't, will I experience rejection? The question is, how will I respond to rejection? So, what we're going to do is we're going to look at how Jesus responded to rejection. Because I think whether you're a follower of Christ or not, it has something to say to how we can healthily respond to rejection and how we can move past rejection. Now, before I get to the two ways that Jesus did respond to rejection, I want to talk about two ways that Jesus did not respond to rejection. Two ways that I see when I look in the world around me. And when I'm honest, two ways that I see when I look in the mirror in front of me. The first way Jesus did not respond to the pain of rejection is Jesus did not retreat from rejection. Because I've already experienced rejection once, I certainly don't want to experience it again. So what do? We retreat. We isolate. We build up a wall to protect ourselves. If that's what it's like to let somebody into that part of my life, then I'm never going to let somebody in there again. And we build a wall to protect ourselves. Maybe missing out on the fact that we're actually building a prison that keeps us from living the life that God wanted us to live. Jesus did not retreat when he experienced rejection. The second thing that Jesus did not do is not only did he not retreat, Jesus didn't retaliate when he experienced rejection. Jesus doesn't retreat. Jesus doesn't retaliate. So how does Jesus respond? Well, here's what it says in Mark chapter 3. As Mark picks back up the story with verse 32, it says this. It says, a crowd was sitting around him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, your mother and brothers are where? They're outside. Now that's important. They're outside looking for you. Jesus' response in verse 33, he says this. He says, who are my mother and brothers? And for years I read that and I thought, way to go. Way to get them. But they're not inside the house. He wasn't talking to them. He was talking to the people who were inside the house. And this is what he says to them. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around them. And he said, here are my mother and brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and my sister and my mother. You see, what Jesus does is this, is that when we experience the pain of rejection, we begin to feel like somebody's doormat, right? Like that friend or that family member uses us as their doormat. And they've just wiped their feet all over us. And they've wiped all the junk in their life all over us before they walk out of our life. But they may have walked out of our life, but they're still running laps in our mind. But what Jesus says is this, I may feel like a doormat, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to roll out the welcome mat. I'm going to roll out the welcome mat. How am I going to respond to rejection? Is I'm going to give an invitation. Because Jesus looked and he saw an empty seat that his family had vacated. But he didn't see an empty seat. He saw an open seat. And he said, it looks like I'm in need of some family. If you're willing to follow me, if you're willing to be with me, Jesus says, you can be my brother. You can be my sister. Because that's the good news of Jesus Christ. That Jesus felt rejected just like you do and I do, but Jesus responded to that with an invitation of, you know what? You need family. I'll be your family. You can be a part of God's family. John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12 says this very thing. It says that he, Jesus, came to that which was his own, but his own didn't receive him. He was rejected. Yet to all those who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave what? He gave the right to become a child of God. He gave an invitation. He rolled out the welcome mat, even though he felt like a doormat. He had an empty seat that he turned into an open seat. How do we respond to rejection? Maybe it's the adult child who's made it very clear they want nothing to do with you. Do we give up on them? No. Do we stop praying for them? No. But what we do is we say, well, it looks like I have an open seat. And there's probably somebody in this world who needs a parent in their life. So God, who is it that you want to use me to show your love to? What is the open seat that you have in your life that God could use? Why? Because although you may feel like a doormat, we're called to roll out the welcome mat. How did Jesus respond to rejection? He didn't retaliate. He responded with love. He responded with love. How do we respond to rejection? We respond with love. Not only did Jesus not retaliate, he didn't retreat. Jesus didn't retreat. How did he respond to rejection? Jesus refused to give up. He refused to give up. We look to the left of this passage, and we saw Mark attach the disciples to Jesus' rejection. We look to the right, and what do you see Jesus do after this passage? You see him preaching about the kingdom of God. You see him healing the sick. You see him raising the dead. That's what he's doing. The exact same thing he was doing before he was rejected. Why? Because Jesus did not allow his rejections to turn into his resignation. So often we go, hey, if that's how family acts, I'm done with it. Then I'm done with family. If that's what it's like, having a friend, then I'm done with friends. I don't need them. Jesus refused to give up. He continued to be who God had called him to be. Because rejection doesn't have to lead to resignation. Instead, rejection can be the direction for where God wants to work. We don't give up on the people who've walked out, but we do look at the people who are there. God, how do you want to use me to make a difference in their life? Galatians 6:9 says this, let us not become weary in doing good, right? The thing that we were created to do. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at a proper time we will reap a harvest if we do what? If we do not give up. You lost your job? There's real pain there. But don't give up. Your friend walked out on you? That hurts. But don't give up. Your spouse doesn't want you anymore? That's traumatic. But don't give up. Jesus did not retreat. He refused to give up. Jesus did not retaliate. Instead, Jesus responded with love. How's he able to do that? How are we supposed to do that? How did Jesus endure the pain of rejection but not retaliate? Instead, respond with love. Not retreat, but instead refuse to give up. Because in verse 34, here's what it said. We read it before. I'm going to read it again. It says, then he looked at what? Then he looked at those who were seated in a circle around him. He didn't look at the people who weren't there. He didn't look at the people who had walked out. He looked at those who were close, who chose to be with him. How do we respond to the pain of rejection, which is real, with love and refuse to give up? I suppose it depends on where we look. Do we focus on the pain of rejection, or do we focus on who is with us? And you say, nobody's with me. Nobody. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, somebody is always with you. Because Jesus was also called in the Bible Emmanuel, which means God with us. There's always somebody with you. It says this of Jesus in Hebrews chapter 12. For the joy set before him, he endured the pain of the cross. What was the joy set before him? It was you and it was me, the people who were with him. The question isn't, am I going to experience rejection? The question is, how am I going to respond to rejection? And I guess to answer that question, we have to answer another question. Where am I going to look? The pain of rejection or the prize of who is with us? He is worth it. The people in your life are worth it. So that you respond with love and you refuse to give up. Let us pray. So, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your grace and your forgiveness and your love. Thank you for the truth that you are with us and that you'll never leave us and you'll never forsake us. Give us your peace. Give us your comfort. Heal those wounds inside of us so that we can respond to a world in need of your love with love, and we would refuse to give up. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.